Good morning, everyone. Hello, how are you? How do you do? It is the second day of August 2021. It's very nice to be with you, and I thank you very much for being with us on this Monday morning. We have a lot to talk about, a lot to do, and we'll get to all of it. I want to introduce our group. Also, real quick, we obviously the big story we're going to talk about at the beginning today is COVID and new restrictions and concerns and the Delta variant and a lot of data that was presented over the last, let's say, 72 hours, I think, since Friday, that we'll talk about. Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to make a briefing, an announcement this morning at 9:30. We're going to carry that, at least a portion of it. We're going to go in and see what he has to say. You know, if he starts talking about, you know, crafting or something, we'll back out of it. But otherwise, we'll hear what he has to say as far as what this means for the state of New York. Let me introduce our panel. They can get started, and then they'll hang on, and we'll come back when the governor is done and continue our conversation together. So, Alan Chartok, how are you this morning, my friend?
I'm all right. I read the papers, you know, and we're all here. There's now a question as to whether we should all mask up because we're in Albany County, and I don't have great expectations for this latest COVID round. I think we're going to be back in the soup in not too long.
Yeah, it's meaning, I assume what you mean by that, by soup, is that, you know, we'll be sort of back where we were a year ago or even less than that of shutdown. And
well, let's put it this way, Joe. I'm sitting here across the table from you, as opposed to the old days when I used to be in the next studio looking through the window.
Well, that's right. You know, the other thing, too, is that I think this is, I don't know, all of us are trying to figure out information and figure out what's going on and what is recommended, and that is ever-changing. So we will figure that out as time goes on.
I've already figured out we're
screwed.
Yes.
Okay. Libby Post is with us. She is a political consultant. She is a dear friend of this program. We love her dearly, and she has been with us since its inception. And it's a great, great treat to have you here.
Well,
again,
thank you, Joe.
You very much.
You're certainly welcome.
Terry Gibson is with us. Terry was just with us last week, and he's here again. It must be summer, and the entire world is on vacation. But Terry came, and that's good. So thank you so much.
You mean the only reason he's here is because everybody else is on vacation?
Well, we have a we put out an SOS and said these are the days that we need people because everyone's on vacation, and Terry stepped up to the plate and said,
I don't take vacations. I'm just always working.
So excuse me. I was on the show on my vacation.
On your vacation.
So come
on. On your
vacation.
Folks. That's right.
It's an hour and a half out of your time.
And I just want to say, I'm the counter to Alan this morning. I'm actually very optimistic about the future. And I think that
really?
We're going to be okay as long as we all get vaccinated. Uh-huh. I think we're going to all be okay. So somebody's got to counter this negativity.
All right. Well, we'll rip you down.
Keep it going, honey.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure you will.
We'll have you depressed as hell by the end of our program. Jim Henler is here, Tetherless World Professor of Computer, Web, and Cognitive Sciences at RPI, Director of the RPI-IBM Artificial Intelligence Research Collaboration. Good morning, Jim Henler. How are you?
Morning. I'm good. I took a vacation once. That was some years
once?
Ago. It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
it was kind
of
cold.
Yeah.
Someday I'm going to do it again.
Vacations are really important.
They are.
Yes.
They really are.
Well, those of us who teach during the summer have weird.
You have to do it. You have to do it.
Alan got a little dig in there. That was good.
3 years ago, that was your decision, honey. Right?
You are so smart. So, you've always been one of the smartest students who I ever had.
That's right.
And I taught you almost everything.
No, let me just say that.
Did you get an A?
Oh, she got a lot of A's. But she didn't have any other teachers. She only majored in Chartok.
Yeah, three classes with him in a year and a half, you can only imagine. And one was a summer class, which was 3 weeks, 4 nights a week, 3 hours a night. No kidding.
And I said at the time, I will never
do
this
that
again.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Never again.
It was brutal.
Well, I just want to say, I wasn't I certainly wasn't.
You didn't mean to start
belittling
this.
Anyone who is going on vacation. My point was is that August is a vacation time. A lot of people who right. are out before they start teaching. Many of our panelists are professors and educators, and they have time in the summer. They're taking it. So I just thank you very much for filling in. We have a great group to.
Well,
to
Joe,
fill
the
in.
Ultimate for me was that. There I was. I had conked my head. I was in the hospital, and there was a lady, God bless her, who was in the next bed, and there was a curtain between us, but she was dying. And the priest came in several times during the night to give her last rites. And there I was, lying in the bed, you know, right next to her. It was really very sad that was happening. But I had to do my duty and be on it. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning with Christina, and then, you know, on the program here. And I said to her, we were talking, I said, you know, you can hear me on the radio now if you want to. She said, I already heard you.
Wow.
I already heard you.
See, that's not what I thought. I thought you were going to say that, like, you had to tell her to shush during the last rites because you were on the radio. That's better. That's better. Good morning, everyone. Let's talk about what's going on. And I think it's the, you know, obviously it's a story that I think is everyone is talking about because, well, a lot of things. But Anthony Fauci this weekend warned that things are going to get worse. That's what he said. As the Delta variant continues to spread across the United States, he also said, I don't think we're going to see lockdowns. He said he didn't expect the U.S. will need to re-enter lockdown as the Delta strain of the coronavirus drives surges in new cases across the country. Fauci said on ABC's This Week, I think we have enough of the percentage of people in the country, and about 48% of the eligible people in this country, according to the latest numbers. Not enough to crush the outbreak, but I believe enough to allow us to get into the situation we were in last winter. Which I thought was interesting because I thought the situation last winter was bad.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Fauci, who serves as President Biden's chief medical advisor, also warned, however, that things are going to get worse as the Delta variant continues to spread across the U.S. and cast the blame on some 100 million Americans who are eligible for the vaccine but have yet to receive it. We're looking not, I believe, to lockdown, but we're looking to some pain and suffering in the future because we're going to see cases go up, which is the reason why we keep saying over and over and over again, the solution to this is get vaccinated and this would not be happening. Amid the rise of the Delta variant, the CDC recently recommended that masks be worn indoors in areas where transmission is high, even among those who are fully vaccinated. Fauci on Sunday cautioned that there are some breakthrough infections among vaccinated individuals, which he said is to be expected because no vaccine is 100% effective. But in those cases, he said, individuals experience mostly mild symptoms or non-existent, whereas unvaccinated individuals have a much greater chance of getting infected in the first place and are most vulnerable to getting severe illness that could lead to hospitalization and, in some cases, death. Meanwhile, Fauci then appeared on Face the Nation on CBS because he
That's
appeared
he
everywhere. And he said that common sense is driving a recent uptick in vaccinations, including in areas where previously low vaccination with areas with previously low vaccination rates. We saw the numbers go up, I believe, from 500,000 vaccinations to 800,000, I think, Saturday or Sunday, I think yesterday. So that is good news.
And happily, Louisiana, where my son is with his son, our wonderful grandson, got the COVID.
Yeah.
And
how old?
Seven.
Yeah. So can't be vaccinated. Under 12.
Can't be vaccinated. Under 12. Is recovering beautifully. Good. I mean, you know, we're not. But it really was very scary for me, you know, to hear
it's,
that.
This is not fun. We both had it. It
yeah,
is not fun at all.
Yeah.
And people need to understand how contagious this is. And vaccination, you know, I'm getting to the point where public health should trump everything.
Yes.
Really. It should be the most important thing that we do in this country and in this state and this community. Public health is it. Because, look, I lived through the AIDS epidemic. I saw what it did to just one community. And it was because it was not ignored by my community, but ignored by the powers that be. This time, everybody is susceptible to COVID. People are dying from it. And public health needs to be the number one priority, and it should be mandated. I don't care. I don't care, other than medical reasons where the doctors say you can't, people should have to be mandated. I read yesterday that when Jimmy Carter was president, he made a push around measles, and 95% of kids got vaccinated for measles, and it's pretty much disappeared except for the anti-vaxxers and their crazy kids.
And even when we had a break, breakout in New York, we as a state put a mandate back in. If your kids want to go to school, they got to get vaccinated. We could do that for everyone 12 and up.
That's absolutely.
You know, in our county, Albany, we're at about 70% of the 12 and ups. But you move over a county or two and it drops way down. And that's what's causing our numbers to rise. It's not so much our own.
Right. It's because people travel over the bridge.
Is there anybody in this room who thinks that mandating, however severely you want to interpret that, is a bad idea?
Mandating masks?
Mandating shots.
Oh, no, I think it's a good idea.
I think it's the only thing to do.
I mean, how would we have ever gotten through the measles and mumps and polio,
smallpox,
all those things that we as society here in this country managed to really avoid? Because people just did what seemed to make sense.
So
there's
what's
a vaccine
driving,
that will save my life and save other people's lives, and I'm going to take it.
So what's driving those people, the 100 million, who will not take the shot?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's been made political. So
politicization was a biggie.
That's a great number that we're talking about. I do think, however, though, that this is a part, and this may be controversial, I don't know, but it seems to me that there can be legitimate concerns about the vaccine, because not enough not to get it, but just questions that you have. I'm not concerned about the vaccine that I received. I have questions. How long is it?
Absolutely.
How long, how long is it going to last? I'm personally coming up on 6 months. I'm sure probably everyone in this room is coming up on 6 months.
You've passed it.
So that means, questions that emerge that I wonder, where we are on all of that.
Sure.
So those seem like fair questions. Now, none of those go to your point of, well, why would you not get it in the first place? But the idea of the governor of Florida saying, passing a law saying that you do not have to wear a mask in school is just, it's a perfect example of the politicalization of it, and is just frustrating, maddening, and, to use an Allen word, stupid.
This is easily explainable.
Yeah,
I think
he wants
to
be
president.
Yeah.
And he figures if Trump doesn't run, he wants to be the guy who has been as big an idiot as Trump.
But aren't you on the wrong side? I mean, if this goes really, I mean, they have the worst numbers. Florida has the worst numbers.
Yep.
Florida has a population. Their hospitals are overflowing with COVID patients.
Do you see him changing his mind, Joe?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I don't understand
don't
how that
me
plays.
With the facts.
Well, I understand. No, I understand.
The messaging is also so damaging, too, because it once again puts the emphasis on whether I wear a mask or not, as opposed to whether I get a vaccination or not. And what I think has been a mistake all along is that the messaging has all too often veered away from keeping the vaccinations the priority. And I think Ron DeSantis and the governor in Texas have all made this issue of personal choice such a top priority for them that they have really gotten away from pushing what we know is a life-saving strategy,
it's all about politics.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's great. Yes. Florida is now responsible for 1 in 5 of the new 20%. 20% of the new cases in the U.S. are coming
and
from
he'll be
one
reelected.
State.
And that he'll SOB be will be reelected.
Yep. So my question for the lawyers out there is, can somebody do it like either a class action suit or a one-on-one suit, or my kid died, I want to sue the governor because the other kids
weren't.
It'll
get up to those six guys on the Supreme Court of the United States, and they sure we agree with that.
Yeah, but let's at least scare them a little.
And what is, you know, right now, I just keep going back to this because we're looking to the CDC for guidance. And the CDC, even just look at what their public statements were last week, and they were all over the place. And I think that, which I understand because a lot of information is coming and going, and we're on the fly, but it doesn't help matters of trying to get those people. Alan, you made the great point about, you know, with 100 million people, what, you know, why aren't they getting vaccinated? I'm also interested in
a lot of misinformation.
Let's just take the 200,000 people who got vaccinated yesterday, the difference between 580 and 800. So say 250,000 people who got vaccinated yesterday that perhaps wouldn't have gotten vaccinated had these stories not emerged. What worked for them? What was it? Is it fear?
Stupidity?
No.
They became less stupid.
People got vaccinated.
Fox News.
I don't think the CDC got everything wrong. They got a lot wrong. But what they did do in the last round of messaging is they did make it clear that this particular strain of virus is so much more contagious than the previous. And they compared it to things like chickenpox. And
yes.
I think that messaging was very strong in terms of putting some fear into people.
I agree.
Not me. I think when they showed that guy on the television who said, I should have gotten the damn
vaccine.
That's
exactly what I was thinking, Alan. With five kids,
he's dying behind the
right.
window.
Right.
And he says, I should have taken the vaccine.
Right. I think it's those stories that are going to
and
impact
that takes
people.
The media,
that's
right,
right.
Libby, to put that stuff out there,
that's
so
right.
that people are listening.
And it's not like they hadn't been doing it before, because the evening news has been full of COVID horror stories right from the beginning. But this guy looked like them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He looked
he
like
was them.
He was them.
He was refusing it.
Right, right. He didn't do it, and I should have done it. Now he's got a fiance and five children with this woman who are without a dad.
So let's go to some letters. As I mentioned, we're waiting for Governor Cuomo, who is expected to speak on coronavirus in New York State and the response to it in just a matter of moments.
He may be trying to re-up his mojo, which he got during the original time.
Well, and so let's talk about that for a second. I was going to go to letters, but let's talk about that. I mean, I think one of the things that my wife keeps telling me is, like, right now, don't we want that again? Like, don't we want someone updating us?
Yes.
Don't we want to know what's happening? I mean, I'm not saying that Governor Cuomo has to be the person, but, oh, here comes the governor. We'll be right back. New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo speaking in New York City this morning, giving an update on the coronavirus and COVID-19 and the state's response to the pandemic. The governor acknowledging that the pandemic could reach a very bad new phase amid growing spread of the Delta variant of the coronavirus. The governor urged private businesses to admit only patrons vaccinated against COVID-19. He stressed the need for teachers to be vaccinated. He stressed the need for hospital workers to be vaccinated. He stressed the need, which he will actually enforce, for MTA workers to be vaccinated, transportation workers. And all of this, of course, coming as the many parts of New York State from the CDC are in high spread counties, especially in New York's Hudson Valley and the Capital Region. And the governor also urged local governments to adhere to CDC masking recommendations. So a lot to take in. I'm glad we took that because it was a lot of really good information, a lot of questions that we were bandying about before he spoke. So let's just go around the room real quick with everybody's thoughts on what we just heard from the governor. Alan.
Well, it was a very strong performance, obviously. And he, you know, I keep thinking of Gene Autry in his song, I'm Back in the Saddle Again. He was. This is where he made his reputation. He's done extremely well today, saying common sense things. He's not picking fights. You would think he might pick a fight with the legislature who took away his emergency powers, but he didn't do that. You know, he basically said, I don't have the power to do this. I don't think he wants that fight. And in terms of his other political problems, one of the reporters tried it, but it didn't really work because this was a very important, you know, policy issue on healthcare. So I think it was it's of great benefit to him. He really did quite well.
Libby?
I agree with Alan. I think that, you know, we're going to see more of this now, and rightly so. Yeah, I think we'll see this at least once a week, if not twice a week, as things heat up more of his opinions and suggestions around mandates are made clear. I think, you know, the legislature took powers away from him during the session, and now it's time for the legislature, and he inferred this, to come back. For a special session and give some of those powers back, because we do need the state to mandate vaccinations. We do need the state to mandate for all localities, because we can't trust some of the localities to do the right thing. You know, we have Trumpers as county executives in some of our upstate counties, and, you know, like Ron DeSantis, they don't believe in masking. And I just got an email from somebody that they were on 90, I think, out in Rensselaer County, and there's a billboard up. You know, don't tell me,
yeah,
don't tell me what to do with my kids. You know,
yeah,
don't
unmask
New York. Yeah. I mean, you know, okay, if you want to do that, deal with the consequences, and the consequences could be death.
I thought it was interesting too, Terry, that the governor, I mean, made a very clear, I thought, delineation between masks and vaccination, and said, yes, we can talk about masks, but right now we really have to talk about vaccinations.
Yeah, I was happy to see that. And I've always, as I said before earlier, I think the focus has to be on the vaccination first. And I thought he did a good job on doing that. I thought it was smart for him to do this. The one thing I didn't hear him do very much, I thought it was a missed opportunity to really advocate for getting the FDA to expedite their approval of the vaccines. Mm. That would give him a lot more options. It would give all elected officials a lot more options. It would make it, as I understand it, possible to mandate these vaccines, to require it. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought his voice putting pressure on the FDA could be very powerful. And I'm sorry I didn't see that. But otherwise, I thought this was something that was useful. It is opinion mostly, because he no longer has the power he had before. I'm not sure how long he can continue doing this series from an opinion position only.
For those of you not watching it on television and listening to it on the radio, which is exactly what we want you to do, by the way. But there were the graphics up that said, these are the facts. And this is my opinion, and as he has done in the past, of labeling it as such. But yes, there were more in the opinion column that used to be of actual order because of the powers taken away.
Joe, I would like maybe
the power's not there.
I would like maybe a dollar for every time he used the word nursing homes in mm-hmm. this. This is a guy who is a brilliant politician, and he's looking at where his vulnerabilities are in the coming election. And nursing homes is one of those places. So rather than run for it, he embraced it. He talked about it.
Well, and I thought also the fact that he brought it to he brought it in under the heading of institutions. So this is what happened with nursing homes. This is what I'm worried about is going to happen at schools. And asking to have those frontline workers, hospital workers, to be vaccinated, and to have teachers vaccinated. He did, it seemed to me, Jim Henwer, take a shot, not much like we did earlier, actually, to the CDC, basically saying the reason I'm making this remarks is because there's so much confusion over what came out of the CDC and the CDC data that was presented to us last week.
Yeah, you know, it's it's tough being a data geek these days, because the problem is the CDC data is
but you know we love you, right?
Right. The CDC data is based on what's reported. And early in the COVID thing, the Trump administration refused to put national guidelines on some of these things, how much testing had to happen. So one of the problems you have, in fact, this is one of the reasons why there was a suspicion that Delta could be spread by vaccinated people, but we weren't sure, partly because there just isn't enough testing in the places where the outbreaks have been.
Right.
You're testing when people get to hospitals. You're not testing people who have been vaccinated and are home slightly ill. And so it's been much harder to follow some of these numbers. And some states get much higher testing rates then there's things like that. So the data has to get kind of normalized. And then CDC has different policies for reporting different kinds of data. So they have the mandate to get the data from the governance, but based on what's happening as it passes down through this political system. So it's, again, just a crazy kind of patchwork. The numbers are there. The numbers are now showing pretty obvious things. But, you know, the other problem is you have percentages. So, you know, sort of if you have a small number and you get a small number increase, you look worse than if you have a big number and you get a bigger number increase, but not as many. So if I have 10 cases and we right. get one more case the next term, we've gone up 10%.
Exactly.
If I got 1,000 cases and we get 100, it takes 100 to right. do the same thing. Right. And so, you know, some of the upstate counties, we haven't had a death in a long time. We have good vaccination rates, but you still see these numbers that have to be compared to places down in Alabama and Florida, which have 30, 40% vaccination rates. And so their numbers are going up much faster, but as a percentage, they don't look, you know, they look about the same. And so you have to worry about a lot of this nonsense in trying to figure this all out.
You know, there are many, many questions that are going to be arising. I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm now 80 years old. It's a little joke.
it's shocking.
Heard a rumor to that effect.
What?
Thank you, Joe. And we have to understand that there's some real tough questions that have to be answered now. For example, who gets a booster shot? And I think each of us is saying, now the government is saying, we're not ready for booster shots. Well, I am.
Well, I'm just going to take a step back.
Sure.
But are the pharmaceutical firms ready for a booster shot?
You bet.
Do they know what to booster you from yet?
Pfizer says they do.
Yeah.
I think Pfizer says they do. And let's face it, they're also saying, okay, anybody with an ancillary disease
right.
is going to be eligible for that. The right age is going to be real. But there is no place to go, because I think we should be getting booster shots. There's no place to go to get them right now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you people are being phony about it. They're going to a drugstore and saying they haven't had one yet and the rest of stuff. But they don't know yet. So that's a tough one. And if you have diabetes, for example, I think about a third of the country, I made that up. A lot of people who are over this age and the rest of it are going to be saying, I want to protect myself. And the government is saying, not yet. Well, that raises a whole bunch of questions for a whole bunch of people.
I think it's a great point, and I'm also interested in, it raises so many questions, you're absolutely right, but, and do they have the answers? And that seems to be the thing that they're struggling with, as to having the answers to those very good questions. And Jim, just to go back to you for a second, because we're going to have to hit news here, but, you know, one of the things that I also picked up and the governor of talking about a lot, he said a lot of this information that came out over the weekend was in direct response to Cape Cod and what was happening mm-hmm. in Provincetown. Mm-hmm. And basically saying that perhaps that is an outlier, that it is different in that situation than it would be in the broader population.
So I think the key thing is you needed a single contained event where you could see, you know, where you could get all the numbers and they were all there. So, you know, again, think of all the different things you do in a day and all the different interactions you have and things like that. And so if someone gets it, who did they get it from, where, how? Here you had a lot of people in the same place. We knew how many essentially were vaccinated that came into the hospital. So again, we don't know everybody who is out there, but so the people who came in and said, I've been, you know, got tested with COVID, they can tell exactly how many of those were vaccinated. So that small, you know, we suspect this is what's causing it everywhere. We know in a sense that that was what was causing it there.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have a lot of letters. While the governor was speaking, you were all writing madly. So we have a ton of letters. We'll get to those as we finish up this morning with our terrific panel, Alan Chartok, Jim Henler, Terry Gibson, and Libby Post. We do welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We will continue our conversation after this BBC News update. Good morning. Welcome back to the panel. Alan Chartok, Terry Gibson, Jim Henler, and Libby Post. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We have a lot of them. And we've been listening to the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, speak and give an update as to what is happening in New York State. Your state may vary, but it does give a sense. Right, exactly. But it does give a sense of what is happening here in New York and of course, the capital city. So we go to Heather. I completely and wholeheartedly agree with promoting vaccines, but I really feel there was not nearly enough discussion about masks at the press conference. I'm really, really, really tired of no one addressing the fact that all children under the age of 12 are in the unvaccinated category. Yes, most unvaccinated children are not vaccinated due to choice, but there are no choices for younger children. Now that we know vaccinated individuals can spread Delta, what is going to be done to protect our children? Love listening every day. Libby, that was your point. Terry, you too. Terry, you of course, saying that more about the FDA approval.
I think we've been talking about masks ad nauseum for a very, very, very long time. And I think the governor is right. Yes, the 12 and under, they need to wear their masks. And I think there should be mandates in schools, despite what some of the crazy parents say. But we need to deal with the vaccination. Vaccination is what will keep this under control. We will create a herd immunity so that the kids won't be at risk.
Yeah, so understand that the lowest transmission rate is vaccinated to vaccinated, right. No matter what
right.
you look at, no matter how you look at it, whether you have masks involved or not. So in other words, if the adults are vaccinated, you're saving the kids.
Yeah.
Then you can add masks. Then you can do a lot of other things. But all of those things are nothing compared to vaccination, vaccination, vaccination.
And we want to hear from the CDC and everybody else about whether or not kids are safe. And if they are, they should be vaccinated.
And I think the governor also is aware that, you know, he can only pick so many fights. He wants to avoid picking fights.
That's
he understands
clear.
That the mask issue is continually controversial. I think he was right to put the focus on vaccinations. That's a fight you can win.
All right.
Well, it was clear. I'm sorry. It was clear that he was not looking to pick a fight with the legislature because he left them out of it. He basically.
We would have to bring the legislature back, is what he kept on saying,
as opposed to. He did not blame them for what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So let's go to this letter from Mike. I couldn't help but notice during Cuomo's news conference his focus on nursing homes and framing the threat of the Delta variant. He was keen to relitigate the root causes of the massive death toll in New York State nursing homes during the first wave of the pandemic. This is a public figure keen to rehabilitate his image and minimize his office's role in the tragedy that unfolded in our response to the virus. We can't forget his office's March 25th, 2020 directive to nursing homes to readmit residents even without a COVID test.
Where were these people going to go? That's my question. What were we going to do with these folks who had to be let out of the hospital because we needed more COVID beds because there were more people coming in? Where do you want these people who came from the nursing homes to go? That's the question. Are they supposed to hang out on the street outside the hospital? Can they go into somebody's home? They're in a nursing home because their family doesn't have the ability to care for them. Where were these people supposed to go?
Yeah, but Libby, he was, and I heard it right from the beginning, fearless when it came to bringing up the nursing home. They're polling. The Cuomo people are polling. They're finding out that people say, what about the nursing home?
What about the nursing home? They don't understand.
So he, running for political office, took this opportunity to explaining it.
Yeah, I think it was a good strategic move. Yep. It would have been a mistake not to mention it, just to ignore it, to be able to confront it in his own
way. He's getting out in front of it.
You know, exactly.
Which is what you need to do.
Larry says, does the panel think full approval of the vaccine by the FDA might help sway the minds of people who make the case that the vaccines are still considered, quote unquote, experimental? If so, what is the FDA waiting for?
Short answer, no. No, the people who are anti-vaxxers are anti-vaxxers. It's in their blood supply. And if it isn't one thing, it's going to be another. So I don't think that will make a huge difference, although it may with a few.
This is a great. I'm sorry, Terry.
No, I'd have to research this, but I also think that there's a connection with the FDA approval and allowing doctors to be able to give vaccinations in their offices, which I think is really important. Jim mentioned earlier, yeah. Especially when we start talking about these boosters. You know, how long are we going to rely on simply going to our local pharmacy? I mean, we all grew up in an age where we got all these things at our doctor's office, and that's how we learned to do it. And I think that bringing us back to that point will be very important.
Yeah, I grew up at a absolutely. Time when there were no doctors.
No, you grew up at a time when there were no vaccines.
Well, you had to get on your horse
Do I remember the polio vaccine? Yeah. I remember getting it. I remember where I was, how old I was.
Me too. I actually remember it too. I mean, I remember going to get booster shot for probably like the measles or mumps or something. You got a little sticker. Yeah. You know, it was a big day.
Again, the chicken pox thing. You know, I can't hear through one of my ears because of damage that's from chicken pox. My kid never had that problem because the vaccines were out. It was a no-brainer. And yet we're talking about people who are risking their kids' death because they're not willing to get themselves vaccinated. I'm not talking about vaccinating kids yet. You know, certainly the 12 and up should be vaccinated.
And then you also...
younger kids, you get vaccinated to protect your kids. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And I think that, I really think if there are kids who want to get vaccinated and their parents don't want them to, the kids should just be allowed to go and get it done.
Emancipate them, let them go get
emancipate them, vaccination emancipation. That's what needs to happen because
you
I know of
abortion, right? Yeah,
right. Yeah. Well, that's a parental consent, right? You don't need, there's no parental consent in New York for an abortion. And I'm sorry, but there are parents who are not letting their kids get vaccinated and the kids want it. And
Well, and there are a lot of kids under 12 who certainly want it because they want to live a somewhat normal life like they used to. And their parents, rightfully so, are concerned.
Can anybody really believe that the CDC and the others haven't figured out whether it's safe for children under 12 to get the vaccine? Because it seems to me that our health scientists should be able to come up with
it's
that.
It's such a great point because they went from 18 to 12 so quickly. Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, we have to remember that most vaccines take years and years and years to be developed and tested, and that the FDA used to take its time on this. But this is an emergency.
But let's also be careful about one thing, because that's one of the things the deniers are saying. Look how fast this is.
Right.
This mRNA stuff. has been in development for a long time. We knew, and was being aimed at coronaviruses.
So just to be clear, you're talking about the major
vaccines.
The stuff that's in Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, all of those things.
Oh, no, I don't think.
Not in J&J.
Oh, I'm sorry, J&J is a live vaccine, sorry. Yeah. Moderna and Pfizer, which were the ones that
people need to talk about that more, because what the dominant narrative is, they rushed to do this.
Right. So in other words, those things were already well on their way. The thing that had to change was to adapt it to coronavirus. But the whole idea behind these kind of vaccines was that once you had the sequence of a virus, you just, in a sense, think of it as plugging that in to the already existing vaccine. It's not quite that simple, but it's like that. So in other words, the 6 to 9 months of, quote, COVID development was the Chinese released the sequence very early. That got put into these vaccines, and that's why they were so effective so fast.
Doreen writes to us and says, the governor keeps citing the New York statistics of 70%, the statistic of 70% for at least one dose of vaccine, but here in Dutchess County, it's only 60%, which is worrisome. The completed dose here is just 54%. We can't count on local governments to do the right thing when it comes to adopting mass guidance. State mandates are needed.
It's a very good point, Joe.
Great point.
It's a good point. It's a good letter because there was a certain kind of deviousness in what Cuomo was saying, leaving a lot of it to other authorities other than himself. Of course, he could have pushed harder on that.
Pete says, panel, you do understand that a majority of the COVID cluster in Cape Cod was vaccinated, don't you? Yes, we said so. 75% were vaccinated.
But 25% weren't, and it just shows how quickly this can
get. But a lot of that transmission was again because the unvaccinated brought it and transmitted rapidly,
right.
And then a smaller percentage of the vaccinated got it back.
Let me read the rest of Pete's letter because I just want to confront it all at once. But even if vaccinated, one should wear a mask and follow previous protocols. We don't need any more confusion from you, misinformation, sickness, and death. Well, I think what we said was exactly what is the case. The governor made the point too that the numbers that are coming out of Cape Cod is what brought the CDC to their conclusion and the information that they released on Friday. And he is saying that in some cases that seems to be not an apt comparison and an outlier. But he said we expect and would want more information from the CDC. So
there are always going to be outliers.
Stop blaming us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Andrew says testing is done to detect infected people. Why are vaccinated people not to be tested weekly as well? Another great question. If you are going to test and make sure that everyone does not have a breakthrough, especially if many of the symptoms are minor. And we also know that because of the viral load in your nose, according to Dr. Fauci, can spread it. Then why don't you test the vaccinated population as well?
So you could, but let me, there aren't a lot of good analogies here. Think of it as colds. Think of it as flu. Think of it as some of these things, right? Masks and things would be a good idea for all those things. And we really probably as a society will start realizing some of that. But again, the percentages, the numbers, the whole game changes as you get more and more people vaccinated. That doesn't mean you can ignore everything else. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have any testing. But for example, just like it wouldn't make sense for you to get tested for the flu every week, once you started feeling some symptoms, you should have an easy way to get tested. I'd like to see travel restrictions starting to get put in. Early in this thing, we had you couldn't come into New York from other states and things like that. We haven't done that yet. We're going to have to go back to that if things don't change. And what has to change is that vaccination.
You know, I do think it was kind of looked over even by us in our talking about it. I'm not saying this is a negative, but it's just because there was so much else to talk about. But the part of the governor's speech where he was going down, or his update, where he was going down sort of the various scenarios of this is what happens with just 25% of your population not being vaccinated, this is how many cases we can have. And that number far surpasses what we've already seen in the state of New York. And looking at the worst case scenario, I think that is important information, obviously, to dispense as well. Panelists, I asked you this question in real time, but are you all good for staying for another 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So, Mike, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And we have a lot of letters, and we will do that. We'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. This morning we are going into extra innings. We're back. Yeah. We're back. Okay.
Sorry.
In other words, we're back on the radio.
Okay. Yeah, we'll stop talking.
I love that you've got off into broke it off into individual discussion groups, but you are mic'd. So
okay, fine.
All right, here we go. Let's go back to the letters. We have a ton, and but we've got some time here. So Nate says, if it is raining a downpour, most people would put on a raincoat or at least use an umbrella. If it's blowing a blizzard, most people would wear a winter parka, mittens, hat, and insulated boots. If there is a tornado and hurricane, I think we know where this is going, but I'll take it to the full. If a hurricane warning and most people respond to protect themselves, extreme wind, wet, and cold can be deadly. So get vaccinated and wear a mask. Perhaps the best approach in the future would be for the weatherman and weatherwomen to be required to provide epidemic information along with the weather. All right.
Well, I don't wear insulated boots in any condition.
You don't?
I don't believe in umbrellas. They're against my personal freedom.
And then he says, it seems that even if you are vaccinated, you can get and pass COVID. I mask up everywhere. You guys seem to think that if you're vaccinated, you can't get or transmit COVID. We have not said that
at
all.
We certainly didn't. In fact, we have said the opposite.
At least I have. We're very pro-mask. I think our point was that the governor's emphasis was very much on vaccines, and we were saying, but what about masks? So just so we're clear on that.
Well, but just to be clear, vaccines, much, much, much more impact than masks. Masks, good too.
Yeah.
But vaccines, much, much, much more impact.
I understand that point. However, I do think a differentiation must be made, too, that for those of us who are vaccinated, that the likelihood of us having a breakthrough case while wearing a mask is extremely remote, as opposed to us being vaccinated and not wearing it.
Just for clarification, is that true? The reason I'm asking that question is, again and again and again, the over-predictor, what we are hearing about all of this, is that the mask is there to protect the person you are talking to, not to protect you. I have always believed it's good for me too, but I really want to know what the answer is.
So the early data on this, I don't know if it's changed, was the mask offers you some protection. So if if we're both unmasked, there's a high probability. If the person who has it,
this is
unvaccinated, right? If the person who has COVID is unmasked and the other person's mask goes down a little, the other way it goes down more. If you're both masked, it goes down very far.
Mm-hmm.
So vaccinated plus both masked right now is far and away the best option.
Okay, to be clear, when we go into the Price Chopper or the Big Y or whatever else, we should be wearing a mask.
Yes.
Yes.
It certainly will protect you some. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And if the other people were masked, it would bring it down to a very low percentage.
And if anyone there is immunocompromised, mm-hmm. and you know you're right. wearing your mask to keep from spreading to them, if people have children there, I mean, so it's not a bad idea to be wearing the mask.
So would it be correct if you go into one of those aforementioned places and you see somebody without a mask to yell at them?
No,
not necessarily.
Well, I don't think we're that's not there really.
Yet. It's a little sardonic. That's
well,
all.
No, but I do think, and this is the problem. I think one of the problems is there's too much yelling on all sides of this. Of people, you know, if you wear a mask now, people yell at me because you know, are you vaccinated? Yes, I'm vaccinated, but I don't trust you. but I do think that. And it's horrible for the stores and restaurants. There was a CBS report over the weekend about what the abuse the restaurant workers are taking from people and telling them to put masks on and ask them to, you know, basically behave like humans. But that seems to be really difficult to do.
So let me ask you a question,
Jim. But I think it gets back to your point, earlier point, Alan, of if you mandate it by the state and the state mandate, which was the case prior, then yeah, that takes care of that. Then you can enforce it.
Without the state mandate, it's really difficult to expect anything to happen beyond just your own personal choice. I mean, we should also point out, at least in all the reading that I've done, it does also show that the statistics show that if you are vaccinated and you try to keep your distance from people and you don't put yourself in situations where you're face to face with people, that your chances of getting COVID without a mask are also very low.
Yes, exactly. Right?
So, but the mask obviously even gives you more protection. So I don't think it's fair to go into a store and begin to sort of point out, well, are they vaccinated? Are they not vaccinated? Mask, not mask? I mean, it's very, I just think it's best we all respect each other's choices.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, to a degree.
I think as long as you're vaccinated.
Well, exactly.
Well, just to be clear, if somebody is pointing a gun at you and you yell at that person, don't pull that trigger, Would you be correct, and would you say to them?
I understand your analogy, but we don't know if a person is walking down the aisle, the other side of the aisle, because we've taken up all the arrows, we've done all that stuff. All that stuff's gone now.
Right.
So we're all just milling about. So is that person on the other side of your cart? Are they vaccinated or not vaccinated?
Yes, you don't know.
You don't know. And
should you know?
That's
should
why the
that's well, why that's you know, a scarlet letter. Is that what we're asking?
Right. That's why the mandates
but what the
so
governor
effective.
Was saying is for certain kinds of events, particularly things with a lot of people.
Yep.
The governor was saying, let's start using those Excelsior passes.
Right.
Well, I agree with that, but I'm wondering. So Tom makes a point and says private businesses can do a lot in the absence of government vaccine mandates. No shirt.
Right.
No shoes. No vaccine. No service. Public transportation, restaurants, and airlines could all require it. They could. But people are such jerks.
Yeah, I was going to say something a little more colorful,
yes,
but then we
but
can't
I
do
can't.
That. Right.
But yeah, that I mean that's the problem, and mm-hmm. and rightfully so. I mean, I heard an anecdote the other day from in a hospital that said because there have been some just restrictions put in over the weekend in a hospital setting that they went from that the hospital emergency went to calling the police, mm-hmm. you know, like twice in a weekend to calling them like 30 times because of the violence that came as and, telling people what they needed to do.
And we can thank Donald Trump for this behavior.
Yes.
It really all comes back to him, his disrespect for science, his disrespect for anybody who's not him, and his take that guy out of here and beat him up while you're at it that he did during his campaign.
Sure.
And the behavior that he has condoned. I mean, really, when I read the stories about There's two lesbians who own a restaurant in Cape Cod, in Brewster, I think.
Yes.
And they had to close for a day to give their staff some mental health time because of the abuse the staff was getting from people. I would never, ever treat a white person badly. I understand what they're working with. We all, I mean... Walk a little bit in somebody else's shoes before you decide to act out like that.
And this is also part of the problem of just trying to, you know, hire people too.
Of
get people to come in of like, we're going to pay you $13 an hour. And oh, by the way, you're going to be yelled at.
Used.
Okay. Mike, just whisper in my ear what my out time is. I know you wrote it to me, but I deleted it. What's my out time?
Now.
Okay, thank you very much. Now let's go to Susan, who has a joke for us. A man goes to his doctor and asks, when will this pandemic be over? The doctor answers, I don't know. I'm a doctor, not a politician. Thank you, Susan. That's good.
That's really funny. It.
That's very
Sorry.
Good.
I like that.
You know?
That's very
funny and yet really sad. Corinne says, ever watch all those drug commercials that have warned of death and God knows what, but people will take those drugs because they have cancer or IBS or whatever, but they haven't been any real side effects like death from this vaccine. Also a good point.
Well, this is libertarianism at its worst.
I will say that I was watching... maybe about an hour and a half of the Olympics yesterday afternoon, and of the coverage, there were so many, and I'm not complaining, I think this is great, but there were so many commercials, PSAs of getting
vaccinated.
People vaccinated,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
How important that is.
And our folks are wearing their masks, and they're sending a message.
And some of the messages are really poignant and really, mm-hmm. really good. So I think that's important to note. Let's see. We have time, I think, for one more letter. Yesterday I found out that my nephew and his family are not vaccinated. They live with their parents, my sister and brother-in-law. I am furious. And that is what a lot of families are going through. Yeah, it's a great question. All right, folks, thank you very much for going into extra innings. I appreciate it. Thank you for sitting with us for the governor. Great to have you here, Alan. Thank you.
And thank you for being our leader, Joe.
We will be right back right after this.